back to Errol, outrageous Errol, and be warned, bad language and harm to wildlife.
He was just so different from the usual actor. Errol never had a dull day in his life. He sailed every ocean, wrote best-selling books, saw for himself wars and revolutions, found Fidel Castro.
Love of adventure and danger, love of skating on thin ice, love of doing something that was illegal with the possibility of getting away with it, this attitude that I don't give a damn about anything.
I may as well confess that at the age of 12, I fucked a duck.
It all began in Tasmania, the island state known for its rustic scenery, peculiar animals, and, well, Errol Flynn. Errol's father, Theodore Thompson Flynn, was a man of learning, a professor at Tasmania's only university.
His father was an admirable man, intelligent, brave, committed to scientific research, had a distinguished career.
A biologist, Professor Flynn collected rare specimens for the Tasmanian Museum.
Errol speaks about having gone with his father to collect these specimens. I guess they knew where animals were buried and went and dug them up. He had a great interest in marsupials. He was certainly very interested in Tasmanian devils.
The Tasmanian devil, entirely confined to the island. A flesh-eating mammal that hunts by night.
In different ways, both father and son became experts in the mating behavior of predatory males.
The father, a very handsome man, a very intelligent man, a womanizer himself, and he got dissatisfied with his wife. There were other women around. They were separated often. They were unhappy with each other. She was very unhappy coming from Sydney to be stuck in Hobart, Tasmania, which was even for Australians the end of the world.
Errol adored his father. He'd be away quite a lot, which was sad because apparently his mother was not a good mum to him.
Probably not surprising then that he was always in trouble at school. In Hobart, they still remember him.
He was very good looking, tall. I think a couple of our female teachers were in love with him. A bit of a devil in him, of course.
His formal education over at 16, Errol moved to Sydney to live with his grandparents and fell in with a young society set. He was the most charming, but also the poorest. There were half-hearted attempts at finding employment, but hard work was never his strong point. For now, he could survive on good looks alone. Lazing on a beach, he was discovered by a talent scout. On the set of one of Australia's first talking pictures, a legend was about to be stillborn.
I want you to forget that you're Errol Flynn. Instead that you're Fletcher Christian, leader of a mutiny, facing a desperate band of men. All right, we'll make a take this time. Action!
Aye, but unfortunately we cannot escape from ourselves, nor from our own contempt.
Errol's movie debut failed to impress, but he hardly cared. He had other plans in mind.
The Etonian Dracula, Christopher Lee, narrating the film documentary of Errol. Now at last there's a biography of his father called, appropriately, Theodore Thompson Flynn, Not Just Errol's Father. The authors are Tony and Vicky Harrison. And Tony, one of TT's contributions was it not, a Royal Commission on Fisheries which got nowhere. Was it because of politics?
Yes, there was a change of government just as the Royal Commission report was being handed down. And because the government was so closely associated with Flynn, the opposition were not as amenable to his recommendations because his recommendations were somewhat socialistic.
He was a Labour man, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, yes. He was a very great friend of both Lyons and Ogilvie.
Is Lyons the only Prime Minister to come from Tasmania?
Yes.
Still?
Yes, still. And, of course, Lyons' first activity in Parliament was an inquiry into a fisheries question, a question of crayfish pots. And, of course, both Lyons and Flynn began their career as country school teachers, Flynn in Hillston in New South Wales and Lyons in Tasmania.
Now I'm going to go to the family, away from the science for a little bit. Vicky, I'm not going to tempt you with Errol, but in fact, the grandfather of Errol, who seemed to be an absolute rogue. Is this where some of the tearaway reputation began?
It's a good question, and I'm not sure. Errol's grandfather, T.T.'s father, seemed a nice enough gentleman at the beginning, but after they moved to Sydney with their children, I suppose one problem was that he didn't find work. He moved around through a lot of different jobs, and he and his wife obviously grew apart. But he was a bit of a rogue. He ended up having to be thrown into jail by Jessie, his wife, who eventually divorced him in 1910, which is quite adventurous.
A boozer, a womaniser. What else did he do?
Ooh, well, not a lot. He worked on the docks. He was a cordial maker in northern New South Wales before they left there. But I think the interesting thing is that both Errol and T.T. have always been thought of as English or Irish. But actually, it was T.T.'s grandfather and grandmother who came as Irish immigrants in the 1820s. So, I mean, they're quintessentially Australian. Not convict, but very long-term Australian.
How is it that Theo, from that kind of rough background, became an eminent professor?
He must have been incredibly talented. When he was only 15, he left school and became a student teacher. He was sent off to country New South Wales, to Hillston, which is at the back of Beyond. And one interesting little fact that I found when speaking to someone from the local library there, she said, oh, there's always been a rumour in Hillston that Errol was conceived here. And I said, no, well, his father was there when he was 15, but Errol certainly wasn't conceived there. But it's that Errol thing again. The rumours persist. But he won a scholarship to Sydney University. He got honours in science in every year he was there. He won the inaugural John Coutts scholarship and medal. And he then obtained a job teaching in Maitland High School.
How did he come to Tasmania?
The university advertised for a lecturer in biology. They never had any school of biology before, so the university advertised and Flynn was the successful applicant.
And when he came to Hobart to do some work, was the first big piece of publishing on the whale?
No, that was much later, the whale. The first thing he did in Tasmania was a continuation of his work on embryology.
What about the whale, though?
Well, one of the things that Flynn did was, in his vacation, was to go out and collect specimens for his class. I mean, there was no one to support him. It was a one-man band. And so he would go to various places collecting specimens for the students to study. And on a trip to Wynyard, he came across what he knew was a fossil whale in the cliffs at what's now called Fossil Bluff. And he knew he didn't have the equipment and the techniques to care for this specimen, so he had already formed an association with the Australian Museum. And so he took the whale to the Australian Museum.
Must have been pretty big, though. You don't just take a whale skull to...
No, it's quite small. You can see
really?
It's down in the University Geology Department.
It's about, a metre long?
About a metre long.
Right.
The skull, yes.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be cabin baggage in the plane.
There were no planes.
Of course there were no planes way back then. And he went, as you said, collecting out into the bush, and he would he himself kill the creatures that he brought back?
Mostly he hired trappers, but he did also go into the bush to collect some small things himself. But he kept pens at the university on the domain. He had pens, and there are still pictures around showing that. And he kept animals at his house as well in the garden.
So, yes, it's quite interesting when you go to the university now, you can still see the odd specimen with his name, and certainly in the museum. And when you ask, you know, T.T. Flynn, people have only got the vaguest idea of what he did. Did you find that when you were investigating things? Did people have a memory of his work?
Scientific people had a memory of his work, but basically he was fairly well forgotten here. He was much more remembered in Belfast.
Where we went to Queen's University.
Time. Yes. Yeah. So there was a lot more memory there than here. He's been wiped out a little.
So what do you think is Theo T.T. Flynn's legacy in a scientific sense?
His work in Tasmania was so spread. I mean, he spent time in charge of the museum. He was did a fisheries royal commission. He took the British Association of Science around Tasmania. He was a busy boy, and he was all the time inquisitive and looking for something else.
He was also a busy boy, not as much as his father or Errol, in that he put it about a bit.
He had a reputation of being very popular with the ladies.
And quite good looking.
Oh, yes. Yes, he was a very handsome man. And for a lot of the time he was here, he was basically living alone. After he and Lily came in 1909, had Errol, they had their second child in 1919. But from 1919, Lily was never in Tasmania. She never came back to Tasmania after she had the child in Sydney. So the last 10 years that he was here as a bachelor, technically, caring for, you know, a young son, because Errol stayed with him.
Why didn't his young son become studious and scientific like his father?
Because he took after his grandfather.
I was wondering about that.
Errol was very intelligent. Some of his letters from quite early, the mid-20s, when he was only 17, 18, are quite erudite. They're well-written, which is interesting because he basically had very little schooling in spite of the number of good schools he went to.
Expelled from all of them.
Yes. He was a classmate of John Gorton at Shaw.
The Prime Minister.
Yes. And when T.T. went to Belfast in 1931, Errol wrote him a rather lovely letter saying, "I've decided that now I've done my bit in New Guinea, I'm going to settle down and I think I'll come and study law at university." And I think T.T.'s reaction was he loved his son and was very proud of him and he knew he'd never do it. Application, I think, was the problem, or lack of it.
I went to New Guinea in the first gold rush, and I think I was 18. In fact, I was. I went up there, and I was running a small boat for a living, and I took some people up a place called the Sepik River, which was a horrible place, and there was so many mosquitoes you couldn't see your way through them. We came pretty quickly to call it the Septic River, and it was certainly that. You've got ulcers, mosquitoes, every other darn thing.
Errol the Cad. The biography of his dad, Theodore Thompson Flynn, not just Errol's father, is by Tony and Vicky Harrison, obtainable from Fuller's Bookshop in Collins Street, Hobart. Next week on The Science Show, a breakthrough in haemophilia and why PhD students count. For more, by the way, on Professor Murray Salby, you can find a very interesting article by James Dellingpole in this week's Australian Spectator. Production for The Science Show by David Fisher and Timothy Nicastri. I'm Robin Williams.